doing this program today in memory of the great Sriman Tulsidas, who passed away last year, September 18th, survived by his wife, Lilavati, and his son and his wife, Rajai and Jyoti, and the three daughters, Indu, Subhadra, and Jyotsna. My prayer and my dedication of this katha, which will be from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, my prayer, as I always pray on these occasions, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, may Tulsidas be situated nicely at your lotus feet. If not, then please place him in the house of one of your great pure devotees. That is the best blessing I can wish on anyone. Let's bless Tulsidas. Everyone, raise your hands and repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Hare. So to set the mood, there's a nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17. Please repeat. Deva Dvija Guru Pragya. Pujanang Saucham Arjavam. Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha. Shariram Tapa Uchyate. Now this verse appears in the section where Krishna is talking about, in the modes of nature, austerity. You can perform austerity in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, or in the mode of ignorance. For instance, one demon, Brakasura, tried to worship Lord Shiva with very severe austerities, offering his own flesh into the yajna pit. Svahak! And that's called austerity in tamogun. What you're doing today, sattvagun. This is austerity, but it is in the mode of goodness. Very good. So please repeat. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord. So who is the Supreme Lord? Jai. Number two, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors. Now, it's not in the exact Sanskrit, but Prabhupada puts in, like the father and mother. So please repeat, like? Yes, just to emphasize that they are superiors. And in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and nonviolence. So those are that's the eightfold austerity of the body in the mode of goodness. Now, we're going to hear from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Those of you who know me, before every time I speak, I always chant two special mantras. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. I must keep my mind meek and humble. I must be more tolerant than a tree. I should give all respect to others and not worry about any kind of adoration or respect from anyone. In such a state of mind, I can easily always glorify the holy name, form, fame, pastimes of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Then, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva Gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, which began the very day Krishna left this planet Earth 5,000 years ago, in this age of Kali, the only means of salvation, deliverance, liberation, not by fruitive activities, not by mystic yoga, not by mental speculation, only by Hare Nam, the holy name of Hari. Hari.
Hari.
Hari.
Hari.
Now, we're ready to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when Krishna was in Dwaraka, and he was exhibiting his opulence of renunciation, living only with 16,108 wives. Krishna was very renounced. One day, an old schoolmate of his came to see him at the urging of his wife. His name was Sudama. And they were in the Gurukul together. Their guru was Sandipani Muni, which Krishna will mention. And when Sudama came, Krishna, teaching us as the ideal householder, seated Sudama on his bed, and Rukmini was fanning, and Krishna gave all respect and great veneration to his old friend Sudama. And Krishna then began to speak to Sudama. So here is what Krishna spoke to his good friend. By this time, Sudama was very, very old in age. So listen to what Krishna says. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Asuta Goswami gives us the key to how to grasp Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is amrit, nectar. But it's not drunk here. It's drunk through your transcendental senses. Your ears, because you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, because you have spent an hour or two chanting, now your senses are purified. One time, I was asked, why there has to be so much chanting? This is the reason. To clean out the cobwebs in the brain. Because all week long, you're hearing material sound vibration at the job, at the home, television, radio, newspapers, the gramya katha of the family. So the mind is all mushed up. Therefore, you can hardly hear. So therefore, there should be 1-2 hours of chanting just to clean the cobwebs out of the brain. So now you can actually hear and actually listen and actually get something. That's why it is most necessary. Before, during, and end, there has to be the chanting of the holy name. Let's chant it one more time. Lord Krishna said, my dear Brahman friend, you are a most intelligent personality and you know very well the principles of religious life. So that's what a Brahman is. Brahman should know what is religion and irreligion. And how does he know that? How does a lawyer know what is the law? He studies the law books. A Brahman studies the Vedas. And the best Veda? Bhagavad Gita, simple, one little book, only 700 verses. Everything is there. Bhagavad Gita is a complete synopsis of all the Vedas. How many people now read Bhagavad Gita daily? Uh-oh. Every hand should be up. I read Bhagavad Gita every day, and I'm not even Hindu. All right, I'll let it go. I believe that after you finish your education at the house of our teacher, and after you sufficiently remunerated him, you must have gone back to your home and accepted a suitable wife. I know very well that from the beginning, you are not at all attached to the materialistic way of life. So that is very important. If you really want a successful human life, you should not be over attached to the materialistic way of life. What is the materialistic way of life? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Right? That's the materialistic way of life. The Vedas give balanced diet. You've heard this, right? The doctor will recommend you should have a balanced diet. What they say, like 5 fruits and vegetables every day? They say that. I hear it all the time. So your life should be balanced. If all you're doing is materialistic life, right? If that's all you're out of balance. Just like your car. You should have equal distribution of weight in the tires. In my car, if there's out of line, a little light comes on. Hey, these 4 tires are not balanced. So you need a balance in life. The balance should be between material and spiritual. After all, the first thing Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita is to emphasize you're not the body. You're the soul. So if all I'm doing is bodily maintenance, then I'm out of balance. I know very well that from the beginning, you were not at all attached to the materialistic way of life, nor did you desire to be very opulent materially. And therefore, you are in need of money because they were so poor. When his wife sent Sudama to go visit Krishna, they were so poor, they had nothing to offer Krishna. That's how poor they were. The wife had to go to a neighbor and beg rice. That's how poor they were. And what did the neighbor give them? Yes, cheap rice, the lowest grade. But when Gujaratis make that power, it is the best. I've had it many times. Are we having it tonight? What? Come on. I came that here just for that. Next time. Right. So that's how poor Sudama was. They had to beg from a neighbor. In this material world, persons who are not attached to material opulence are very rarely found. Anybody disagree with Krishna? It's been your experience, hasn't it? Yes, it's been my experience too. Such unattached persons haven't the least desire to accumulate wealth and prosperity for sense gratification. But sometimes they are found to collect money just to exhibit the exemplary life of a householder. They show how by proper distribution of wealth, one can become an ideal householder and at the same time a great devotee. There are many examples. Yudhishthir was king, so therefore he had immense opulence, but he lived his life perfectly. There are other examples. Ambarish, Runti Dev, in our Vedic scriptures, so many examples of these great personalities. They could have been fabulously wealthy, but they were not attached. And they knew how to distribute. Such ideal householders are to be considered followers of my footsteps. So here Krishna is pointing out, okay, you want to live comfortably in this material world, there's nothing wrong with that. But you should be an ideal householder, not simply to live comfortably. But at the same time, as he said, to be a great devotee. Both have to be there. In this world, it's okay. You can be comfortable. All right. But at the same time, develop your devotion for Krishna. That's why I wanted to know who reads Bhagavad Gita every day. So the book should be dusted off. Take out the book and read Amrit, Krishna Amrit. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you're getting Amrit from Krishna. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who studies this sacred conversation worships me by his intelligence. So when you read Bhagavad Gita, it's worship of Krishna. How? With your buddhi, your intelligence. My dear Brahmin friend, I hope you remember all those days of our school life when you and I were living together at the boarding school, known as what? Gurukula. Gurukula. Actually, whatever knowledge you and I received in life was accumulated in our student life. If a man is sufficiently educated in student life, under the guidance of a proper teacher, one's life becomes successful in the future. So we see, it has been my experience, I have been specifically preaching to the Indian community practically 99% since 1993. And I have seen that all these years. I've seen that in Indian homes, they stress the children should get good education. So they are that. This is where it's coming from. Inherently, they know that. My child should get a good education, as Krishna is pointing out. That whatever you, but, and I know many of you parents, it wasn't enough that they were good in school. They also had to attend Bal Bihar. They also had to attend temple. And some of you, I won't mention any names, but some of them were my students. And I'm very proud that my students now have become very, very successful materially and spiritually. How many of you know Rupal Parekh? Right? You see what she's doing now? She's doing first class, isn't she? She was my student since she was 9, 10, 11 years old. And I think there's somebody else. I think her name is Poonam. I think. Oh, there she is. She is also teaching children, right, Poonam? About Krishna consciousness? Yes. So this is what Krishna is saying. One can very easily cross over the ocean of nescience, and one is not subjected to the influence of the illusory energy. In other words, if you have this balance of material education and spiritual education, what does Krishna say here? You can cross over the ocean of nations, the material existence. There's a song by Govinda Das, Taraha e Bhava Sindure. That's exactly the meaning. To not cross over the ocean of material existence means in your next birth you go down, lower form, animal, aquatic, reptile, plant, cockroach. Successful human life means elevation, advancement. Either you come back in a very, very pious, religious, I'll go so far as to say Hindu family, or you go to the planets of the devatas, those Taking birth like that is in the mode of goodness. Or you can take birth in the planets of the rishis, even higher. Or the real, full, complete success, you return home, back to Krishna. How many would like to go back home and be with Krishna? Yes. Every hand should be up, but there's always that one person. I want to come back. I want to take birth in Orange County again. Yeah, but there may not be an Orange County. There may not even be in America. And who's to say? I've said this many times. You may say, I want to come back. Yeah, but you can't tell Krishna, okay, Krishna, I want to know. By your karma, you may wind up in Baghdad. I didn't ask for this. Well, so better to ask Krishna, please take me, go back home, back to Krishna. All in favor, say Hari Bol. Thank you. My dear friend, oh, here comes the big point now. Listen up. Turn up your ears. Turn it up. Big line here. Listen, this is Krishna speaking, not Nirantara Das. This is Sri Bhagavan Uvacha speaking. Listen carefully. My dear friend, so who is he speaking to? Okay, when he's speaking to Sudama, he's speaking to you. Sudama is just a target. He's actually speaking to me and you. So here's what he's saying to me and you. My dear friend, everyone should consider one's father to be one's first teacher. Here he is, the father of the family. Tulsidas. Tulsidas ki. That's all he gets? Tulsidas ki. Gee, come on. My dear friend, everyone should consider one's father to be one's first teacher. Because by the mercy of one's father, one gets this body. Yes, this is explained in Bhagavatam. Even Krishna uses the example. Aham bija padakpita. I am the seed-giving father. So the father is the one who plants the seed in the womb of the mother. That seed is where the soul enters into the womb of the mother. So it is the father. Krishna is saying here, the father is the first teacher, because it is by the mercy of the father you get the body. Therefore, the father is the natural spiritual master, guru. Now, this ties in with another verse spoken by Krishna in a different incarnation, Rishabhadev. Rishabhadev is also Vasudev, Krishna, God. When he spoke to his 100 sons, headed by Bharat, right? Three lives, Bharat, then he was a deer, then he was Jada Bharat. So his father was Rishabhadev. So he spoke to his 100 sons, headed by Bharat, and he said, don't become a father. Don't become a demigod. Don't become a teacher or a parent unless you can deliver your dependent from the cycle of birth and death. Big responsibility being a father, mother, parent. Human life means responsibility. Human life without responsibility means two-legged animal life. Just like, I'll give you an example. When you get that license to drive, heavy responsibility. Because if you're not careful, you could kill someone, right? So having that car gives you lots of facility, but along with it, heavy responsibility. And if you misuse that, you may even wind up in jail. So be very careful. So, as soon as one recognizes, oh, I have a human body, means heavy responsibility. Means I can't just do anything I want. That's a false notion here in America. I ought to know. I grew up here. When you grow up in America, you think, I can do anything I want. I'm American. Blah. I can do whatever I want. No, can't. Heavy responsibility. And to know those responsibilities, again, Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, you don't know what you're doing. Bhagavad Gita is to teach you what you should be doing as a human being. Very important. Our next spiritual master is one who initiates us into transcendental knowledge, Srila Prabhupada. And he is to be worshipped as much as I am. Who's speaking? Ooh, just think. Krishna is saying, the one who initiates us into transcendental knowledge is to be worshipped as much as I am. That doesn't mean he's God. And one time, the disciples of Prabhupada were preaching that nonsense philosophy. Prabhupada is Krishna. And unsuspecting people were buying into this poison pill. And when Prabhupada found out about it, he became furious. He hammered this point. The guru is not God. But Krishna said he is to be worshipped as much as. Yes, but that doesn't make him God. God is God. Guru is guru. Dog is dog. It's not all one. The guru, representative of God, it's a difference. Representative, just like if the president sends one of his representatives, you will respect him as such, but he's not the president. There's a difference. So the spiritual master, the guru, is the representative of God. Therefore, he should be treated like God, but he's not God. This requires a little brain. You get that brain by chanting nicely. Let's all chant. Right, right.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
You get that brain again by reading what book? Ah, we're making progress. Very good. Now Krishna goes further. The spiritual master may be more than one. The spiritual master who instructs the disciple about spiritual matters is called Shiksha Guru. There are people who see me as their Shiksha Guru. I have several of these people around the world. They have approached me. And I said, yes, I will act as your Shiksha Guru. And they know because Prabhupada, you can have unlimited number. They could have as many Shiksha Gurus as you like. Go ahead. The spiritual master who initiates the disciple is called Diksha Guru. That's one. One. Both of them are my representatives. Therefore, me or anyone else, if they're going to be Shiksha or Diksha Guru, has to always remember, I have to act like Krishna's representative. Otherwise, disqualified. I have to repeat what Krishna says. I have to obey what Krishna says. Otherwise, bogus. So many times over the years, I've been asked billion times, Prabhu, how do I know is my guru? It's very clear. Find someone who obeys Krishna. Find someone who repeats what Krishna says. Therefore, the first thing is you got to read Bhagavad Gita so that you know what Krishna says. Are you all going to read Bhagavad Gita now? I hope so. I read Bhagavad Gita every day, so I can say that. Okay? I read it every day. So, very simple. He repeats what Krishna says, and he obeys what Krishna says. Pretty simple. Now, if you're that unfortunate person who says, well, I don't find anybody, then I can't help you. But that's what you got to do. You got to find someone who, as we say in New York, I'm from New York, you have to find the guru who walks the walk and talks the talk. That's a guru. He walks what? What does he walk? Bhaktivedanta Marg, Prabhupada's path. And he talks the talk. He repeats what Krishna says. Krishna says, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The guru says, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna continues, there may be many spiritual masters who instruct, but the initiator spiritual master is one. A human being who takes advantage of these spiritual masters and receiving proper knowledge from them crosses the ocean of material existence is to be understood as having properly utilized one human form of life. There it is. When Kakani said what the topic was, here is the exact answer. Very simple. This Bhagavad Gita is actually very simple. If you take it as it is, it's really simple. Even I can understand it. I didn't go to college. Many of you know, before I was a devotee, I was a hippie. I had hair down to here. I had a beard like this. I looked like a real sadhu from India. Although I didn't have the big belly like I have now. I was very thin. But I had the big beard and the long hair. Right? So, this is the goal, Krishna has just said, can cross over, has it understood to having properly utilized one's human life. Because the goal of human life is to progress. Not stay where you are. Progress. And the ultimate progression is to return. Because that's where you came from, Krishna. How many of you accept that originally you were with Krishna? How many people accept that? Well, that's a good number. Good. Yes, originally you were with Krishna. And now you're asking, well, what happened? Yeah, me too. I'm asking the same question. What happened? Yes, don't try to figure it out. You'll never find out. Just like supposing somebody said, fire! What would you do? Would you have a board meeting and find out who started the fire? What would you do? Get out! Later you can have the board meeting, find out who started the fire. Correct? First, you save yourself. So don't waste your time trying to figure out, how did I get here? No! Go back. Who do you think knows the answer? All right, so when you go back to Krishna, you can ask him. Trust me, once you go back to Krishna, that's going to be the furthest thing from your mind. You're not going to go to Krishna and say, Krishna, how did I? You'll be so happy that you're with Krishna, you'll forget all of this placentia or wherever. Make sense? Good? Chant Hare Krishna one time, everybody.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
One has practical knowledge that the ultimate interest of life, which is to be gained only in the human form, is to achieve spiritual perfection and thus be transferred back home, back to Godhead. You cannot go back someplace that you weren't. I cannot say, I'm going back to Australia. I was never there, at least not in this life. I may have been a kangaroo in a previous life. But in this life, I cannot say, oh, I'm going back to Australia. I was never there. I can say, I'm going back to New York. Yeah, that's where I came from. But Prabhupada, thousands of times, uses this phrase, back home, back to Godhead. What does Godhead mean? King, kingdom, God, Godhead. Means you're not alone. Gee, who's right next to Krishna? Radharani. And who's surrounding Radharani? Gopis. And who's surrounding Krishna? Cowherd boys. His father and mother is there. There's a whole party going on. Let's go. You're going back. Back. Just like a lot of you come from India, yes? So you can say someday, right? You go on your vacation. Prabhu, I'm going back to India. I'm going to Surat. Right? How many of you are going back to Surat soon? Ahmedabad. Excuse me. All right. Ahmedabad. Yeah, we have some Surats. You get the idea. Because that's your home. Right? Right. But here Krishna is pointing out everyone's original home is with him. Where there are no taxes. No pollution. No politics. Oh, can you believe it? No Sarah Palins. Oh. No Michelle Bachmans. Oh, great. All those guys. My dear friend, who's speaking? Who's speaking? Ah, come on. Who's speaking? Thank you. My dear friend, I am Paramatma, the super soul, present in everyone's heart. And it is my direct order that human society follow the principles of Varna and Ashram, as I have stated in the Bhagavad Gita. If you know the verse, chant with me. Chatur Varnyang Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagasha Tasya Kartaram Apimang Vidya Akataram Avyayan. Now, if you study Bhagavad Gita, you will know that Krishna is again not referring to the body. He's not talking about you were born in a Brahmin. No. Varna and Ashram means how do you act? That is. And Narada Muni confirms it. Yasya lal lakshanam proktam. Not how you were born, how do you act? If you work and act like a Brahmin, you're a Brahmin. If you work and act like a Kshatriya, you're a Kshatriya. Vaishya, it's how you act. No one can say, I'm a Vaishya, but he's broke. No. Vaishya knows how to make money. If Vaishya is poor, he's not a Vaishya. He's got to have a couple of coins in his pocket. Then, hey, you said it, not me. Don't put words in my mouth. And if I act and work like a Shudra, I'm a Shudra or less than. You've heard me say many, 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 many times. Prabhupada was once preaching in a place called Modi Nagar, which is between Delhi and Vrindavan. So I was assigned to bring Prabhupada his water. So Prabhupada was speaking to the lady, Mrs. Modi. And Prabhupada was speaking in Hindi. Prabhupada could speak Hindi, Bengali, and English. So every so often, Prabhupada would turn his head to me and say, Papa Yonaya. Prabhupada would continue to speak, Papa Yonaya. Prabhupada was explaining to this lady that even someone like me, not born in Hindu family, and he kept repeating that word, Papa Yonaya, meaning, yes, he may have been born in a low birth, but look, he has taken to this process of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna consciousness. He was explaining a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Again, it doesn't matter what your birth is. What matters is how do you act? How do you live? That's why you've got to read Bhagavad Gita so you know how to act and live. Human society should be divided according to quality and action into four varnas. Similarly, everyone should divide life into four parts. The first life in becoming a bona fide student, receiving adequate knowledge, keeping oneself in the vow of brahmacharya, so that one may completely devote the life for the service of the spiritual master without indulging in sense gratification. Yes, this word is used so many times, indulging. A brahmachari is meant to lead a life of austerities and penance. The householder, I think that's about 99% of us, householder is meant to live a regulated life of sense gratification. Regulated means not whatever I like, whenever I like, as much as I like. Regulate. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 says, how do you conquer lust, the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world? Regulating the senses. Regulation means this much. Again, when you drive your car, sometimes you're allowed to drive 65. But not in a school zone. 25. Not that, I got this 12-cylinder car. I want to be free, man. No. Regulate. Things should be regulated. There are fasting days. There are rules when you can mate. There are rules how to eat, how to sleep, how to work. Regulated life. The more regulated, the more elevated. The more self-controlled. One should not remain a householder for the third stage of life. But one has to return to the austerities and penances formerly practiced in brahmachari life and thus relieve oneself of the attachment to householder life. After being relieved of one attachment to materialistic way of life, one may accept the order of sannyas. As the super soul of the living entity sitting in everyone's heart, I observe everyone's activities in every stage of order of life. So keep that in mind. You're not fooling anybody. You may cheat on your taxes. I don't blame you. You may do little white lies. And you may fool others. But Krishna's in your heart. He sees everything. You can't fool Krishna. And at the time of death, the accounting comes into place. Oh. But not to worry. Prabhupada said that how many of you call yourselves devotees? Nobody? You're not devotees? Well, you should. Anyway, anyone who does, I'll rephrase it. How many people come here to the temple and do seva? You're doing seva right now, so every hand should be up. I'm just not getting across. What, I got to speak Gujarati now? Next lifetime. So, anyone who does any seva for Krishna, you have an account in your name. And every time you do any seva, they did. So at the end of your life, your spiritual 401k kicks in. And very good. All right. So please maximize your 401 by doing more and more seva. You came to the temple. Did you see Krishna? That's seva. Are you hearing the katha? Some of you. So you're doing seva. Are you going to take prasad? Oh, that's easy, isn't it? Well, at least do that. At least do that, Seva. The more you do Seva, it's going into your 401k. And don't worry, the Republicans, the Democrats, they can't touch it. They may want to touch your Social Security and Medicaid. They may steal that from you. But nobody can steal your Transcendental Spiritual 401k account. Because Krishna's got it. And he sees everything you're doing. Now, this last instruction by Krishna, I'll end it here. I know I'm over time. Please forgive me. But this last instruction by Krishna is so good. When I see that one is engaged seriously and sincerely, what are the two words? Serious. In discharging the duties ordered by the spiritual master, and thus dedicating one's life to the service of the spiritual master, that person becomes most dear to me. What were the two words? Serious. In executing whose duties? Spiritual master. So Krishna talks about more about the brahmachari. I'm over time, so I'll end here. I made my points. So hopefully you will increase your seva, and you can immediately increase your seva by reading what book? When? How much? Jai. Raise your hands. Repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare
Rama.
Rama
Rama. Hare Hare.
Srila
Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.
Let's chant together. Hare